Oaks Lacrosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. This is the kind of less intense warfare the U.S. wants to see out of Israel in its battle with Hamas. What's believed to have been a drone strike in Beirut killed Saleh Arouri, Hamas political number two.
The question will be, is what the response will be either from Hamas or Hezbollah. Hezbollah has said that if Israel were to carry out an attack in Beirut on either members of their party or Hamas, that they would respond.
ABC.
The question will be, is what the response will be either from Hamas or Hezbollah. Hezbollah has said that if Israel were to carry out an attack in Beirut on either members of their party or Hamas, that they would respond.
ABC's Marcus Moore. Israel announced the death of Zvi Zamir, former head of the Mossad, Israel spy agency. His warning that Egypt and Syria were about to attack in 1973 was largely ignored. This is ABC News. Federal prosecutors brought a superseding indictment against Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey, already accused of using his power to benefit Egypt. He's now also accused of accepting bribes from someone acting on behalf of another foreign government.
For the last 3 years, according to the new indictment, Menendez has been taking things of value from the Qataris in exchange for his support of certain Senate resolutions involving Qatar and for helping his friend, a co-defendant, Fred Davies, with a real estate investment from the Qatari Investment Corporation that finally closed that deal worth tens of millions of dollars in 2023.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. What, they don't know what happens in New Orleans? ESPN apologizing for showing a woman baring her breast during coverage of the college football semifinal in New Orleans on Monday night. It aired coming out of a commercial break in the second half. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Dane County judge ruled Tuesday that election clerks can accept absentee ballots that are missing part of a witness's address. The judge ruled that so long as the clerks can discern how to reach the witness from available information, those ballots are acceptable. In 2022, a Waukesha County judge ruled that clerks are no longer allowed to fill in missing witness information. Tuesday's ruling provides uniform rules for how clerks should handle those absentee ballots, says the group that brought the lawsuit. After 3 consecutive years of record-breaking numbers of shootings in Milwaukee, the numbers declined in 2023. Gun crimes are still roughly double that of pre-pandemic levels. As of December 27th, there were 171 homicides in 2023. That's 20% lower than the record 215 homicides in 2022. I'm Nate Muggyhout, Civic Media News.
The Packers make a roster move. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After beating the Vikings on Sunday Night Football 33-10, the Packers have placed second-year wide receiver Samori Toure on IR and promoted Bo Melton to the 53-man roster. Melton had 6 catches for 105 yards against Minnesota, the first Packers receiver to have a game with 100 yards or more in receptions this season. I asked him after the game if he was able to find those open spots against the Vikings' zone defense.
Yeah, I was finding windows. A lot of our receivers were finding windows as well. They have have a great defense, so we're just trying to go into certain defenses and try to exploit that.
College football, the Badgers fought but fell short against number 13th-ranked LSU. The final in the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa, 35-31 in favor of the Tigers. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
It doesn't just happen because you say it's going to happen, right? You go into place, you say, well, we're going to tackle better, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And the reality is it's, you know, it's a lot of hot air.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight. Light west winds near 30 degrees by sunrise. On Wednesday, there will be a slight chance of some flurries and light snow. Should not amount to a whole lot, though. Mostly cloudy skies, lower 30s in the late day. It's 33 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Merry New Year Tuesday, happy hour edition. Just glad to have you back at work, Dom.
Good to be back, Rudy.
Haven't seen you in years, feels like.
Ah, nice.
We miss you all, so join us this hour. This is your hour down here, 844-967-2789. But, Dom, I wanted to start this hour. I want to set a topic. January 6th, it's coming up, the three-year anniversary. And I'm still waiting for justice. Or a pound of flesh, but, you know, let's call it justice.
I like justice.
Republicans, the MAGA sort, for a while, some sort of saw the light, could see it was a bad thing, sort of a violent insurrection, but since then, kind of toned it down in their minds.
Oh, like, the initial reaction, remember, like Lindsey Graham and Congressman from Green Bay here, right?
I mean, Mike Gallagher.
The reaction... I think that's what you really need to look at. What was the initial reaction? Well, people were mortified, man. Donald Trump called the crowd. He incited the crowd. You know, we'll be wild. You better fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore. And he set them loose on the Capitol in order to what? Try to stop the peaceful transfer of power, which he did for a few hours.
Dominic, over at the Washington Post today, 3 years after the January 6th attack, Republicans are more sympathetic to those who stormed the U.S. Capitol more likely to absolve Donald Trump of responsibility for the attack than they were in 2021, according to a new Washington Post University of Maryland poll. Republicans are showing increased loyalty to the former president as he campaigns for re-election and fights criminal charges over his attempt to stay in power after losing in 2020. They are now less likely to believe that January 6th participants were mostly violent, less likely to believe Trump bears responsibility for the attack, and are slightly less likely to view Joe Biden's election as legitimate than they were in December of 2021. Ah, Dom. In follow-up interviews, some said their views have changed because they now believe the riot was instigated by law enforcement to suppress political dissent.
Wait.
Instigated... by law enforcement.
Okay.
To suppress political dissent. Or maybe John Nichols from The Nation, because he was accused in a Trump filing, right?
It was a setup, man. I was set up. That's what they're saying. It was a setup. But if that would be the case, Kurti, again, everyone that's been convicted, they're all Trumpsters, right?
Don't let the facts get in the way, Dom.
Okay. Please.
As it's described here, a baseless conspiracy theory that has been promoted heavily in right-wing media and by Trump in his speeches and in his legal fight against the four-count federal indictment he faces in D.C. Michael Hanner, director of the Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement, says this: from a historical perspective, these results would be chilling to many analysts.
Yeah.
But Republican views are more fractured than those of Democrats. Here's where I'm going to take a little optimism, Dom. You got to read between the lines, but I want to be optimistic. But Republican views are more fractured than those of Democrats, who remain largely in agreement the riot was a violent threat to democracy for which Trump bears responsibility. In the current context of hyper-partisanship, there seems to be some divisions amongst Republicans. Again, according to Hanner, independents, according to the poll, mostly side with Democrats. There's your silver lining, folks. I don't care what the MAGA crazy believe. I don't care how supportive of Donald Trump they are. In fact, I read alternative articles at the Washington Post today, Don. And they're conjecturing over when was it that Donald Trump really won the primary? Because he's about to sweep the Republican primary. Well, some a little along the sides, little procedural stuff that Trump's team's been doing. Believe it or not, they've run a smart campaign in terms of procedure. But when he really ran and won was when the indictment started coming. Right? When the indictment started coming, even his opponents in the primary fields at all. Oh, poor Trumpy, poor Cheeto Messiah. And this won over the MAGA base, Dom. So,
I mean, hang on. I don't believe that the MAGA base needed winning over. That's why they're called the MAGA base. You know, they're going to go with the cult leader regardless. So, yes, to your point, the independents mostly siding with Democrats on this. That is, in fact, encouraging.
Well, yeah, because you can't win an election in the United States, not a general election, without the middle, without the independents.
You can't win a general election with only the MAGA base. That's not going to happen.
And Dom, over a third of Americans still believe Biden's election was illegitimate. You remember when I told you the first time I went to Des Moines, Iowa, without you, went to a Trump rally, and it was crazy, man, like 40,000 people in Des Moines on a Saturday night going against a college football game an hour down the road. And I'm like, where are all these deep fried butter on a stick eating people coming from? And they were all carrying the Let's Go Brandon signs. That was about the time this whole F Joe Biden thing really, really sprung up. And I'm thinking, where is this animus towards Joe Biden coming from? Well, they delegitimized the man's election, right? If your guy told you the other guy cheated and screwed me and he stole it from me. Well, I've always wondered, what is it that Joe Biden did to the Trumpsters precisely?
He won?
Well, he won.
But here's what I struggle with. I mean, if Joe Biden loses an election and he came out and said, I was cheated, I was robbed, and he went to court and lost, you know, 63 out of 64 court cases. An audit after audit investigation was all bunk. Even his own investigators regarding the election security came out and said, no, it was stolen. If that was Joe Biden, I wouldn't believe it, man. I don't just believe it because Joe Biden says it. I don't believe anything just because somebody says it. You know, you got to do your own research, quote unquote. And it means more than just, you know, going a Google on your Breitbart account, man. I mean, Donald Trump can say what he wants, and there's lots of facts that would refute many of the things that he says. But if you're a MAGA and that's what you're down with and all you give a damn is about Donald Trump and your cult leader and getting him back in power, then you can't beat him over the head with the facts. They're never, ever going to believe it. And I, Kurti, if I was in that position and it was the guy I voted for and they were telling me that, I wouldn't believe it. I would be very skeptical about believing the person I voted for saying that their election was stolen and they didn't provide any sort of proof, evidence about it. What is that mindset, man? That's what I cannot grasp.
Well, you've always been a bit of a cynic, Dom. you know, you're different than other people, apparently. At least the MAGA base. Because they'll find all sorts of ways to justify and rationalize. And you're absolutely right. You can beat them over the head with facts. They don't believe our facts. Those are made up facts. Those are lefty liberal facts. We believe alternative facts, right? I mean, if Trump doesn't say it, they don't believe it. But I am still very encouraged. And here's the discouraging part. Back when they did this polling, this University of Maryland Post polling in December of 2021, and they asked the question whether Joe Biden was legitimately elected. 69% of Americans said he was. That's down to 62% these days, Dom. And back then, well, slightly fewer Republicans today. 31% say that Biden's election was legitimate compared with the 39% in 2021. So the Republican Party is really going in the wrong direction. But what I think that may reflect is the MAGA base has left so many behind.
It's thinning out as a percentage, certainly. But, I mean, does that mean that people are leaving the base or becoming more independent?
Well,
if you have a bunch of people that believe something and a bunch of those people, you know, leave, statistically, a greater percentage of those remaining will skew the data.
Well, here's the good news, question mark, Dom. Older Americans are slightly more likely than younger ones to say that Biden was legitimately elected, as are voters with college degrees. About 3 in 10 people who get most of their information from the Foxy News think Biden won legitimately in 2020. 30% of Fox News viewers believe that Biden won legitimately. Damn. 30%? The truth snuck through to 30% of your viewers, Fox News?
I mean, that seems like a very low number, man. You think that's a good number?
No, of course. I'm being a little sarcastic here in the new year, Dom. Right. Work with me.
All right.
Let's draw some conclusions from this Post piece. Most Americans, but few Republicans, think that January 6th threatened democracy. Small d. Most Americans, 55%, believe the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021, just set our dates here, Dom, was an attack on democracy that should never be forgotten, with majorities of Democrats and independents holding this view. 55%, Dom. If that's the electoral math in the great United States of America, that's an ass whooping. I'll take that math. I like it. 55%. I can live with that. It's crazy to think that there's, 39% of Republicans that think that Joe Biden wasn't legitimately elected to this day. 70% of Fox News viewers don't believe that Joe Biden was legitimately elected to this day. But not enough to win a general election, man. And that's what's got me encouraged. They cannot win with these numbers. This math, this dog don't hunt, fella.
It's still very concerning to me, Crudy. I mean, we all breathe the same air. We're drinking the same water. We live in the same country.
Yeah, but they're mixing some Kool-Aid in with their water, Dad. They're drinking it different.
We have the such a glorious ability to go out and read all sorts of different articles and opinions, and you can digest it and break it down to what you determine to be the facts and the court cases that have come out, the investigations even done by conservatives. And Al, they were talking about in these court cases and the January 6th committee, these are Republicans who are testifying. This isn't some sort of Joe Biden conspiracy, folks. We are the devil's advocate. It's going to get back to some of your calls at 844-967-2789.
Eagle 1490 AM.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going back to the lines at 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you are first. Welcome. Happy New Year, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Happy New Year, guys. I'm speculating. You wondered now how many Wisconsin Republicans were actually, if not involved in, but were cognizant of what was going on in the Capitol that day, who knew that the fake electors were meeting and knew that the insurrection was plotted, that and were perhaps not were connected to the insurrection, but perhaps not participating in it, and now giving aid and comfort to those who were involved with the insurrection. And if you were aware of what the stuff was going on the Capitol when the fake electors were meeting, their duty was to actually let the public know about it, that this was going on. Yet they failed in that duty. Fitzgerald failed, and it's likely some of the other Wisconsin Republican Congress people, knew what was going on and failed in their duty to the people of the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. I mean, they violated their oath to the Constitution. Pure and simple that they did that because they swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution or support the Constitution, depending on what language you use. And to think that there's a difference between the two is just pure sophistry. I mean, these guys, they're unfit for any office, period. And that's what needs to be brought out, because that your loyalty is not to Donald Trump, it's not to the party. Your loyalty is the people to the United States, the people of Wisconsin, to the United States of America, not to any one person, any church, or that. You took that oath, and let's remind those guys, most of those guys, you know, are supposedly church-going guys, and they invoked God when they took that oath, even though that is not required in the Constitution, that you invoke God. But they invoked God, and now they are, you know, technically blaspheming. You know,
now they're asking God for forgiveness because they're sinful, sinful men. Isn't that what the good Christians do? I mean, it wipes the slate clean and absolves you of all your sins. Just go throw them on Jesus.
As the non-believer here, there is no such thing as sin. And no matter what you say, it does not absolve you of a conspiracy, of a crime, if you are engaged in it. And I think, you know, part of the thing is, and I do feel bad. I think there's some folks, maybe it was one of the false electors from Michigan, like a 70-some-year-old person, and they were kind of beside themselves thinking, wow, they kind of got duped into this. I think there probably is some of that. Hell, I absolutely believe that there are, you know, people of goodwill that would vote for a Republican, that would have, you know, the conservative background, that hear the leaders of their party or the leaders or the person that they voted for tell them, you know, falsehoods, and they believe it. They want to believe it. And so they go and they accept it as fact because that's their echo chamber. And I think there's a difference between, you know, being truly ignorant, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but just not aware of what's going on, versus those like Cheesebro, like Ron Johnson, who were specifically engaged in the conspiracy. And I think there is a difference between them. My concern is, what is it about a guy like Donald Trump that when he says these things and, you know, it's not proven, none of it comes to be proven out. None of it comes to fruition. None of it, it's not right. It's not righteous. It doesn't come to be known as fact, but they still accept it because it's Donald Trump telling them. We saw
that's what he said you'd say.
844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome, Stephen. What do you got for us?
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Dominic Root. So this is what I did. I pulled a CJ today, and I called conservative radio stations and tried to understand their viewpoint. And now I'm at home drinking a cocktail because I'm trying to decompress from all the garbage that was pushed into my brain today. But
one of the locals, one of the local hosts in Green Bay.
Yeah, he was one of them. The Unregular Joe Show.
Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah. According to him, we'll start with him first. Donald Trump is not actually being charged with anything. This is just a big thing that the Democrats are conjuring up because they don't feel like they can win against Trump without this. And then I listened to another.
Okay, but hang on, Stephen. I mean, obviously there was a grand jury involved. You know, there were Republicans on the grand jury, certainly. And folks came back and said they reviewed the evidence that was presented to them, and they said, yeah, there's enough here to charge and go to trial on.
Stephen. Oh, I mean, you can get an indictment on a ham sandwich, is what they'd tell you, Stephen. You know, you can't.
Well, you know, you don't have to convince me. I know it's all garbage. But I guess the point I'm trying to say is that the Republican Party is obviously unraveling if they are, you know, getting to the point where they're literally lying to your face and hoping that you're too stupid to figure out that they're lying to your face.
Yeah, as a party, that's very difficult to sustain. And listen, I mean, I have respect for the audience, Stephen. I have respect for you. I have respect for Mike and Nate. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and spew garbage just to hope to get some sort of ratings or convince you to do, you know, A, B, or C. You know, I'm down with the conversation, and we can talk about ideas and opinions, but facts are facts. There are not alternative facts, Stephen. You know, and you can say, well, you know, they brought this indictment. Oh, it was a D.C. You know, what do you expect in D.C., that grand jury in D.C.? What did you expect in the grand jury in Georgia? Well, I mean, then maybe you shouldn't be breaking laws in D.C. Maybe you shouldn't be criming in Georgia. You know what I'm saying, Stephen? So there's always going to be that. And it's like just like when, you know, Bernie Sanders can't never win because he's going to call him a socialist. Well, what happens? Joe Biden won, and he's a socialist. Those things are always going to happen regardless of what our position is. I mean, if Donald Trump got indicted in the most conservative county in the country, the MAGA group would stand up and say, oh, they're a bunch of rhinos. You know, there's no getting over on them. There's no convincing them. There's plenty of people, as we know, we see the statistics, and we can know with our own personal relationships and folks that we know, you know, there's not enough of them. But it's still very concerning to me, Stephen.
844-967-2789. Mark from Sussex. Happy New Year, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call. So I have a question. When did Stacey Abrams or Al Gore ever concede, or Stacey Abrams today still thinks she won that election for governor? So,
well, I didn't see any violent riots down in Georgia, sir.
Pardon?
Stacey Abrams didn't lead a violent insurrection at the Georgia State House. You see where the analogy breaks down?
Dom's talking about, you know, people complaining about losing their election. I would be pissed if I lost whatever thing. So again, whether I'm, you know, playing football, playing a video game, whatever, you don't want to lose, but at least I can see that I lost.
But Trump has not done so, Mark. Trump refuses to do so. What's that?
Stacey
Abrams is not under criminal indictment, Mark. Stacey Abrams did not lead an insurrection against the U.S. government, sir.
That's not what Dom said.
All right, let me ask you, Mark. Did Donald Trump or Joe Biden, who won that election?
Joe Biden.
Right on, man. Are you gonna? And would you vote for Donald Trump in 2024, Mark?
Yeah. Yes, 100%. Because
and you don't think that he tried to lead an insurrection to overturn the will of the people?
No, if he is, I'm not going to vote for him in the primary, but if he's in the general election, absolutely, because of the disaster in the White House today.
Oh, man, we got to go, Mark. Thanks for the call, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. This is the kind of less intense warfare the U.S. wants to see out of Israel in its battle with Hamas. What's believed to have been a drone strike in Beirut killed Saleh Arouri, Hamas political number two.
The question will be, is what the response will be either from Hamas or Hezbollah. Hezbollah has said that if Israel were to carry out an attack in Beirut on either members of their party or Hamas, that they would respond. The question will be, is what the response will be either from Hamas or Hezbollah. Hezbollah has said that if Israel were to carry out an attack in Beirut on either members of their party or Hamas, that they would respond.
ABC's Marcus Moore. Israel announced the death of Zvi Zamir, former head of the Mossad, Israel spy agency. His warning that Egypt and Syria were about to attack in 1973 was largely ignored. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met Tuesday morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increase last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue that state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and in the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight. Light west winds near 30 degrees by sunrise. On Wednesday, there will be a slight chance of some flurries and light snow. Should not amount to a whole lot, though. Mostly cloudy skies. Lower 30s in the late day. It's 33 at our studios.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. When lacrosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about, you're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
60% of the time, they're right every time.
the Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Merry New Year. Happier, happy hour to us all, Dom. I've been checking the text line. I've been catching some hell. See this one. Welcome back, Dom, you slacker. Trudy and the great Nate were so good that you are on probation and will need to prove yourself worthy to resume your post.
Is that double secret probation?
Is there any other kind? What else we have here? I did see Crudy on the C-SPAN. Nice Christmas tree in the background. Well, that's sort of my home devil tree. No, it's a Christmas tree. We do the Christmas thing. You were talking about Ron Johnson. He's on Vicky's show now. He was earlier today. I did actually listen to Rojo on the Vicky show. The borders have become quite an issue for the Ron Johnson. Rojo is just losing his mind, Dom. And the fact that we Democrats might want to make a deal. Because let's not forget, he has tied Ukrainian war funding and Israeli funding to closing the border. And he doesn't mean kind of closing the border. Ron is now calling for razor wire, whatever it takes. He wants a complete closure to the southern
Berlin
border.
Wall on the border.
Is he that does. What he does. From now on. That's what he's calling for. I heard him advocating on an inferior radio product down the dial. What else? Well, anyways, you can.
Let me just throw this one out for our last caller, Mark from Sussex, I believe.
I wanted to acknowledge Johnny from Dubuque because he's wondered where we're having suds at on the 15th when we're down for the caucus. Right. We'll get back to you on that, Johnny.
From, let's see, I guess AP, dated November 8th of 2022. Democratic challenger Stacey Abrams conceded to Georgia Governor Brian Kemp on Tuesday in their rematch from their previous 2018 race. Abrams called Kemp to concede and went on stage minutes later to congratulate the governor.
Well, that's more concession than Scott Walker ever publicly did.
And it's certainly, point being, she conceded. Now, she may have some issue. I think it was the 2018 issue, but she did concede. Donald Trump hasn't conceded, right? He still won. So, Mark, but that's not necessarily a great comparison. But thanks for the call, man.
Dom, former conservative columnist Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post today has got a little piece where she talks about what real conservatives look like. You know, so often these mega whatever they are, they're being labeled conservative. She said, au contraire, that's not what real conservatives do. And she points towards an amicus brief just filed with the U.S. Supreme Court, written and authored by a number of conservative lawyers. But anyway, so I'm going to pick up a little bit of her opinion piece today. The media and political insiders have become so accustomed. Let me jump down farther. After Chutkin, again, this would be the judge in the March 4th trial on the January 6th against Trump. After Chutkin meticulously addressed and rejected Trump's immunity claim, special counsel Jack Smith sought an expedited review by the Supreme Court. The high court declined to weigh in before D.C. court rendered its decision. That is proceeding in which the conservatives submitted a succinct takedown of Trump's arguments. Let's knock these out. 16 Republicans, former prosecutors, elected or appointed officials, and lawyers who signed onto the brief included Ty Cobb, that's the Wilford Brimley-looking guy with the mustache, Trump's former lawyer, Ty Cobb, Bill Kristol, former chief of staff to Vice President Dan Quayle, lawyer George Conway, well, we know him, married to Kellyanne, right? Former Massachusetts Governor William Weld and former Congressman Tom Campbell made their arguments against immunity from a distinctly conservative perspective. These would be the sort of arguments that might have appealed to honest conservative justices of the past. Think Sandra Day O'Connor, Brian Byron, Wizard White, and even Anton Scalia. First and foremost, the amicus brief demonstrates fidelity to the clear meaning of the Constitution. When its writers argue that the Constitution's text omits any reference to presidential immunity and that the framers could have put in one had they intended to shield the office from prosecution, as they did for members of Congress in the speech or debate clause, the writers are deploying honest originalism, because the text lacks an immunity provision, the courts have no power to invent such a protection. They likewise find no basis in the Constitution for Trump's argument that prosecution must be preceded by impeachment and conviction. In deploying an originalist analyst, the amicus brief returns to the principle that the current right-wing majority on the Supreme Court has kicked to the curb, Dom, judicial restraint. You going to help me?
I'll jump in here, Curtis. Second, these true conservatives embrace the concept of limited government. Citing Federalist Paper number 69, they note that the president should not be regarded as a king, but rather as something akin to a governor of New York, hence subject to prosecution. To back up their argument that the president has never been regarded as beyond the reach of criminal laws, they cite, among other things, the pardon for Richard M. Nixon, unnecessary if he was immune, and Trump's own arguments in the second impeachment trial. Trump's notion that Article 2 means that he can do whatever he wants is a repudiation of our constitutional system that rejected a monarchy. In an era in which the GOP attempts to intrude into every corner of life, from banning abortion and books to micromanaging healthcare for LGBTQ plus youth, it's helpful to remember that limited government used to be a fundamental principle for conservatives. Presidents are not kings. Government is not all-powerful. Such ideas are now anathema to Trump's mega party. Third, the amicus brief argues that an immunity defense would shred the concept of separation of powers. The Constitution's protection against despotism rests on a structure in which the three branches hold different powers, with no branch dominating the others. Allowing prosecution for criminal actions of a former president, the brief argues, vindicates the current president's power to take care in enforcing the law. Trump is impermissibly attempting to wield the judicial branch to obstruct the executive's prosecutorial prerogatives. Whereas Trump and his mega allies continually sought to interfere with and take over other branches of government, ergo robbing Congress of the power of the purse, ignoring more than 60 post-election court decisions, actual conservatives recognize that the very structure of the Constitution is designed specifically to prevent a tyrannical figure like Trump from seizing all the functions of government to the detriment of individuals and other levels of government, i.e. the states. Fourth, in rebutting a claim to a lesser type of immunity, the amicus brief reaffirms the rule of law and the sanctity of elections. Preventing an incumbent from overriding the results of the Electoral College and barring a president from interfering with states officials' conduct of elections, actions that are central to the January 6th indictment, reflect the principle that laws, including election laws, treat both sides equally, allowing the incumbent no superpowers to shape the result. Allowing an incumbent to fix the outcome of his own election to exceed his own four-year term would debilitate the entire constitutional system. In spelling out these arguments in this fashion, the amicus brief not only dismantles Trump's preposterous claim to immunity, but also rebukes the entire GOP that has followed Trump into a thicket of lawlessness, authoritarianism, violence, and chaos. Its authors thereby vividly illustrate how far Republicans have come in abandoning liberty, limited government, judicial restraint, and fair play.
Dom, could you repeat that part? Because, you know, I was listening, but I think it bears repeating that maybe final paragraph you just read there.
Once again, Jennifer Rubin writing in the Washington Post. In spelling out these arguments in this fashion, the amicus brief not only dismantles Trump's preposterous claims to immunity, but also rebukes the entire GOP that has followed Trump into a thicket of lawlessness, authoritarianism, violence, and chaos. Its authors thereby vividly illustrate how far Republicans have come in abandoning liberty, limited government, judicial restraint, and fair play. Only if Trump loses and the MAGA movement lurch to authoritarianism is defeated can the GOP reemerge as a legitimate pro-democracy center-right party based on principles outlined in the amicus brief. If that ever occurs, the amicus brief authors might be just the people to advise and lead their former allies to return to the values they once held dear. Again, Jennifer Rubin, a former conservative, no longer labeled as such at the Washington Post.
I am less optimistic about the future of the Republican Party now because I don't think they're learning.
Well, I don't. Here's the thing. I'm not clear that they ever really believed it in the first place. You know, talk to me about family values. You know, talk to me about all these things, limited government, fiscal responsibility. You know, you don't do over between Bush and Trump's, you know, $10 or $20 trillion worth of tax cuts over the course of the last 40 years. That's not fiscal responsibility. You know, where's the privacy of individuals to marry who they love, to engage in lawful behavior, to read whatever books they want? I mean, go down the list. It's really difficult for me to believe that the Republicans would sway so far away from their beliefs because of one person. The only way in my mind that could really truly happen is that they didn't believe it in the first place. And maybe some of these, like Jennifer Rubin and this judge, I forget the guy's last name, very important conservative judge, and the other signers of this amicus brief, Luttig, thank you, and the other signers of this amicus brief, perhaps they truly do believe that. And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Hell, I'm down with limited government. I'm down. I understand the concept of these issues. But if these are things that are so important to your philosophy and you're so willing to cast them aside for a guy like Donald Trump, then you really didn't hold them as principal beliefs, period.
You're implying many Republicans lack character, Dom. Or moral compass, character. Perhaps. They're not God-fearing, question mark? They're Trump-fearing. Because well, I think that's really what motivates so much of this. First, they feared him politically. But I mean, literally, some of these people, they fear the violence that he can turn upon them. Do you see what happened in Colorado? Do you see what happened in Colorado? Some guy broke into the Colorado Supreme Court overnight and shot up the building.
Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't a Trump supporter. Just a random act of violence.
967-2789. If you truly hold these as core beliefs, you will not cast them aside for a short victory. It doesn't work that way. If they're core beliefs, they're core beliefs. Right?
844-967-2789. Some would say. Who's your Bob? Hold on, Bob.
The violent thing, the threat of violence, and certainly that's very concerning. If you are already reacting to the threat of violence, we've already slipped into fascism. If you're going to change your behavior and change your philosophy and change your core beliefs because you're afraid that some mega supporter is going to do something detrimental to you, et cetera, you're already down the path, man. We cannot possibly not go forward with truth and justice in the American way and let the threat of violence alter or somehow influence those decisions. That's not how it's supposed to work. If you allow that threat, and no, granted, those threats are out there, but if you allow that to sway your decision-making on your quote-unquote core beliefs, if you allow that to influence the judicial system, we're already on our way to authoritarianism and fascism.
Some people are down for self-preservation, Dom. I know you know about that instinct.
No doubt.
They don't have your upstanding courage, perhaps. 844-967-2789. Who's your Bob? Welcome. What do you got?
Sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
That's okay, boys. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year.
Okay. Question. Donald Trump still insists that he's the president. Am I correct in that?
I think he's acknowledged he's not the president, but he hasn't acknowledged that he actually lost the election.
Yeah, and he doesn't acknowledge it publicly. I mean, he didn't stand up there in a podium and say that.
No, but he knows the answer. I mean, that goes to motive, and they've demonstrated that.
I understand that. Now, for sake of argument, somebody goes, okay, Donald, you're right. You were the elected president. Sir, your term will be over at the end of 2024. You want to start making plans for the transition to the next peaceful government?
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocate. More for your calls on the other side.
This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Time flies when you're having fun, but make sure you stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show is coming up next, and you can join us right now on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dominic Kinblock, whom the Trump campaign, according to The Hill, who the Trump campaign hired in 2020 to find voter fraud in the election, penned an op-ed today stating unequivocally that the 2020 presidential election was not stolen and that there was no evidence of voter fraud sufficient to change the outcome of the election. Here's what he writes. Can a steady diet of lies and innuendo overcome the truth? In November 2020, former President Donald Trump asserted that voter fraud had altered the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. The day after the election, his campaign hired an expert in voter data to attempt to prove Trump's allegations and put him back in the White House. I am the expert who was hired by the Trump campaign.
Oh, he's just coffee boy.
Yeah, they're not going to like what the expert had to say, Dom. Block, who owns Simpatico Software Systems, said his company's findings were communicated directly to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and transcripts of depositions taken by the January 6th Select Committee investigating the attack of the Capitol show, and this is a quote, Dom, show that the campaign found no evidence of voter fraud sufficient to change the outcome of any election. Block's op-ed comes as Trump continues to claim that 2020 was illegitimate when he mounts a comeback bid for the White House in 24. And Trump's popularity has grown in recent months, as has the share of U.S. adults who say that President Biden was not legitimately elected. Dom, we talked about that earlier, the new polling out. Block noted in his op-ed that claims of election fraud are not fading despite an overwhelming amount of evidence proving otherwise. What'd you say, Dom? You can't force feed them the facts. They don't want to eat that. They're not going to eat the facts. Here's what Block said. And yet, the cries that the election were lost or stolen due to voter fraud continue with no signs of stopping. Whether a stump speech, outrageous lawsuits like the so-called Kraken cases filed by Sidney Pell, Rudy Giuliani's lies, or the ongoing misguided efforts of people determined to prove the election was stolen. The constant drumbeat hardens people's hearts and minds to the truth about the 2020 election. What these claims don't take into account is that voter fraud is detectable, quantifiable, and verifiable. I've yet to see anyone offer up evidence of voter fraud from the 2020 election that provides these three things. Where is the freaking evidence? Show us evidence, and maybe you change our mind, Trump supportive. But there is no evidence, according to the voter expert that the Trump team hired, and he said there was no fraud, Dom.
I got a little bit from the actual USAtoday.com op-ed. He concludes these few paragraphs. Trump's claim of voter fraud have no foundation in the truth. We know this. We vote anonymously with good reason. No candidate can credibly claim that a fraudulent vote was credited to their opponent unless the person who cast that vote tells us. This means that a candidate trying to use voter fraud as the reason to change an election result cannot show that fraudulent votes caused their election loss. as a former gubernatorial candidate, again, this guy who was hired by the Trump campaign to look and find and prove the voter fraud, he was a former gubernatorial candidate. He said, "I can admire the discipline it takes to stay on message on a single issue. There is no doubt that voter fraud can animate people, but it is one thing to provide a rallying point for supporters and quite another to drag our election infrastructure and legal system into a foundationless set of false claims. A better use of time, money, and energy would be to address systemic weakness in our election system, such as the distressing lack of national election infrastructure to enforce election integrity, destructive practices to our elections such as gerrymandering, and leveling the playing field so that our elections become fairer and more competitive. If voter fraud had impacted the 2020 election, it would already have been proven. Maintaining the lies undermines faith in the foundation of our democracy." Ken Block, again, owns Sympatico Software Systems. He has a new book coming out, and he was hired by the Trump campaign to find out whether or not the election was stolen quickly. It wasn't. It wasn't. But Trump is the chaos candidate, man. It doesn't matter. See, that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter. Trump is going to say what he's going to. Trump's going to Trump. That's what Trump does. And apparently lots of people go along with it. They like the, you know, it's the grievance politics. Hell, we air the grievances. We have good times on Fridays. There's a lot of grievances in this world. And now we're going to tell you all about it. Right. That happens. But that's what Trump is. He's the chaos candidate. But when the people all around him, when the Republicans that he hired, when the staff that he hired, when the attorneys that he hired, when his own attorney general, come on, you could go down the list. These are all conservative Republicans. When Judge Luttig and Bill Kristol and George Conway and all these folks come out and what, they see the danger. I'm just wondering. I know MAGA's not going to see it. They want this. They want it. They got a grievance that perhaps isn't being addressed. There's a lot of that out there. But when you're talking about attacking this electoral system, we would know if it's out there. How many 1,800 different in the state of Wisconsin?
Like 1,835 independent voting districts decentralized. You'd have to have a massive conspiracy to affect the outcomes.
Yes, Dom, thank you, Kurt. Yes.
The insurrection. You know, the less than violent part that we talked about, the Trump supportive. Well, one of the insurrectionists was convicted today. And let me read a little bit from the Raw story coverage. "The only thing that stops a bad man with a tomahawk is a gavel," one lawyer wrote after the January 6th Marine vet attendee who carried a tomahawk to the U.S. Capitol was found guilty of 7 felonies. Alex Harkwriter, 36, of Carthage, Texas, was tagged along with pal and co-defendant Ryan Nichols to D.C. with a shared belief that the 2020 presidential election was fraudulent, according to a DOJ release. The federal prosecutors say that Nichols and Harkwriter exchanged text messages, including one featuring a stamp of body armor, suggesting it would protect against various bullets. In another, Nichols sent Harkwriter about arming his pickup. "Dad and I are building a gun container in the truck today. Just know I have intel that Washington will be a war zone. Big possibility that the battle actually goes down." During the Stop the Steal rally, both Harkwriter and Nichols, decked in body armor, were in attendance at the Ellipse, then proceeded to march towards the U.S. Capitol building. Harkwriter was armed with a tactical tomahawk axe. A tactical tomahawk axe, Dom. Nonviolent tactical tomahawk axe, I'm sure. Thank you all for listening. You know, those are the best nonviolent people that are completely MAGA supportive, but, you know,
they stayed
really
inside
nice
the
people.
Velvet ropes until they didn't.
With their tomahawks? I've never brought a tomahawk anywhere. Thank you all for listening.
Not trying hard enough, Mike.
Maggie Dawn is next, and then Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, and then the Nightlight with Pete.
Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Richard.